Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles to Psalms 102. Hallelujah. Psalms 102. What I want to share with you briefly is a prayer. It's just a prayer. But I pray that you receive this prayer because it's the prayer for now, it's the prayer for this moment. Hallelujah. Let's read Psalms 102, verse 13. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time is come. Thou shalt have mercy, arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yet the set time is come. I can just go ahead and we just pray. But faith comes by hearing. Understanding this prayer or receiving this prayer will change the rest of this year in your life. There is something that I'm personally experiencing because God has given us grace to understand our personal seasons and corporate season. And I thank God for the grace by which He allows us to group and enter into these various seasons. And the things He gives us to expect from Him according to His promises. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1 says, to every purpose under heaven, there is a time and there is a season. So everything that God does, He connects it to times and seasons. Every purpose under heaven. So, for you to receive this, easily receive this, let me bring our attention to this principle. The law of sowing and reaping. James chapter 5 verse 7 says, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth until he receives the early and the latter rain. So, in the natural sequence of season that God gave Israel, He told them that I will give you your early and your latter rain. I will give you your fruit in their season. That's the reason why Paul was writing to the Galatians church, knowing about seasons and knowing that Christians can easily be frustrated without understanding spiritual seasons. He told them, be not weary in well-doing. For in due season, you shall what? Reap. Meaning you will see fruit. You will see harvest. You will see what you are laboring for. So, if the principle of due season, the principle that what due season means, appointed season, the set time. Another way for you to understand this principle is, we all understand here that, or we all have jobs. If you don't have one, ask Kelvin. I'm just kidding. We have a contract with the company or with the organization we work for. And the contract will say, of course, or it's a general principle, that you, when you're hired, you are given assignments and given jobs to do. And you clock in and day out. And some companies will pay you every 2 weeks. Some will pay you at the end of the month. So let's say that you contract with your company to pay you. They pay you every month. So this company only pays at the end of the month. That day that they pay at the end of the month, we call it what? Payday. Payday. It's just one day. But everybody in that company expects their check on that day. Amen? That's payday. Now, but because of the contract, because of the thing binding you and your company, you are very committed to that contract that you work very hard. 8 hours, some 12 hours, some how many hours, whatever the hours be, you work hard every day. You wake up early, you go to work, you come back late, you go through the day, you wake up early, you go to the, you do that for a whole month. Diligently, faithfully, and with one intention, productively. You give these people these hours. Actually, in today's the trend, basically, you spend more time with your co-workers than you spend with your families. So now, you do all this. Let me ask you a question. How many of you, on payday, go ask, give me my pay, you know, please give me my paycheck. Please, please, please give me my paycheck. I need my paycheck. You don't do that. That's human beings. Because there is a contract. You've met your side. So in that contract, you don't beg, you don't ask, you expect. Can we say expect? Expect. Expect. You expect that check that day. And it's there. If they send it electronically to your account or you go pick up, it is there waiting for you. It's there. The company has it. It's there. So everybody goes on that payday and receive their paycheck. Amen? Now, if for some reason some people are, they take off days and you take vacation and take all the things that relates to your being absent, on payday, when you get your paycheck, you get the reward based on what the contract says and what you put in. Amen? If you added bonus time, you expect bonus check. Amen? What they call extra time. Now, payday is not something that originated from this world. God says in Hebrews chapter 11, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And what does that mean? Because he says in that same verse, he says, because he that comes to God must believe that he's God. Meaning, it's not like Walmart. It's not like this company that might be affected by the economy or affected, or it will give you an excuse why what you work for is not there. He's God. And he says he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The word reward is wages. Pay day. Wages. You work, you get wages. The wages of sin, the gift of God. So, if we understand that principle, that is with men. God has the same principle, but he calls it times and seasons. He says, be not weary in well-doing. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also what? Reap. Be not weary in well-doing in due season. That what due is payday. Amen? It's payday. So what happens when you are giving, when you are laboring, when you're serving, you're doing some, because of lack of understanding of seasons, sometimes we are going to our boss saying, why have you not paid me now? Why have you not paid me now? And in our cycle of life, sometimes we think God delays his payday. And then we get frustrated. We think God doesn't answer prayer, or God doesn't do this, or God doesn't do that. But in due season, there is always a breakthrough. But the understanding of seasons and time makes us flow better with God. So what happened here is David was writing about the times, the hard times, and the different things he was going through. Also in Psalm 73, he described an amazing time in his life when he was still running from Saul. But he kept himself pure. He was serving. He was doing. He cried. He says, I almost backslid. I almost slept. When I see the ways of the wicked, when I see their boasting, when I see them, everything they long for, they have. He was describing how the wicked flourishes. And here he is, sowing, giving, serving, doing everything. And it looks like the more he's doing it, nothing is happening. And he says, am I serving God in vain? Is it vain to do what I do? He struggled. Like the people in Malachi chapter 3. They struggled with, why should I continue to do this? Is there a fruit? Is there a result I get from this? Some of them quit. But David said, as I went into the sanctuary, he says, then I saw the ways of the wicked. And then also God reminded him. What happened to David? God showed him, there's a payday coming. Let the wicked, let those that abuse, let those that take advantage, let those that sneak, let those that lie, let every cheater, let everyone that is just doing things and getting by, it's okay. Until payday. Let those that are faithful, serving, seeking God, there's a payday. There's wages. Whatsoever a man sows, he shall reap. So David saw, wow. When I got into the sanctuary, I saw, and he saw that the ways of the wicked, oh my God, are slippery. In payday, following what I'm saying, in the day that God rewards, he says they will disappear. They will not be found. But then David becomes king. He's highly exalted, and he says, I am lifted above my enemies. Payday. So, in the scripture, he describes again in Psalms 105. Joseph had a dream. And his whole life, the Bible says, the word of the Lord tested Joseph until the word of the Lord came to pass. He was faithful. He was keeping himself pure. He had the fear of God. He was diligent. He was serving. Then let me tell you why this scripture is important. He said, God, it is time to show mercy to Zion. Because the time you have set to favor her is now. What does that mean? Psalm 105 says that Joseph was put in stock. He suffered. The world was trying him. But he was faithful. He was diligent. But let me tell you what you don't recognize. What you don't realize until payday. It is during payday that it comes in full. And that's when everybody sees it. But let me tell you what follows the diligent, the faithful, the consistent servants of God, even when they've not seen anything. Like your boss, you're working. Some people say, oh, when are they going to pay us? They will just play with things and do this. But somehow, there are people, they don't care whether the boss is there. They don't care who is there. They say, this company is not my father's company, but if I'm paid for it, I want to make the best of it. And they work hard. They do everything. They don't know there is an unseen eye that every boss has. There is a wisdom that by which they recognize faithful people. And that's the way with God. He watches people. He watches all his children. He watches them. And he watches their heart. And he begins to follow them with something. The Bible says, Joseph, everywhere he went, look at this boy, a slave, taken out of his comfort zone, his father's house. Everywhere Joseph went, the Bible used this word I'm about to share with you. You will see differently today. He found favor. He found favor with Potiphar. This man had Egyptian workers, had everybody. But this guy that just came, what is it about him? Knowing his circumstance, overlooked that, but there's something about his heart and about doing things that Potiphar said, you know what? Apart from my wife, You have every decision to make in this house. I trust you. I give up. I will not. He says Joseph, he gave everything. Joseph was except for his wife. He gave him his life. Joseph was accused. He was provoked to be angry, offended. Who does not go through an opportunity to be offended? But he bypassed that, kept the same sweet spirit of excellence because of the secret of committing himself to the faithfulness of his destiny. And in jail, Joseph found favor with the jail master. And they made Joseph in charge of all the jails. The Bible says that Samuel grew up in the favor of God. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 52 says, Jesus grew up, increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God. Amen. Before you see favor with man, there is something that attracts the favor of God around you. Then the Bible says that in the generation of Noah, go read it. It says the whole earth was corrupt. Everybody has corrupted themselves in their imagination, in their ways. They have become so possessed with worldliness and themselves. And the Bible says just one word, Noah found. If you go study that word, many places in the Bible, the grace, my grace is sufficient for you, the throne of grace is different from that word Noah found grace. That word Noah found grace in Hebrew is called favor with God. In that generation, favor. For time, if you go to Luke chapter 1, the angel appeared to Mary and he says, Hail thou! Highly favored one. Highly favored. And when Mary was wondering, what kind of greeting is this? And it was, fear not, for you have found favor with God. Favor. The Bible says, Nehemiah found favor with King Artaxerxes. Found favor. And he just commissioned him. Daniel, a stranger, there's something about their spirit, this excellent spirit, this faithful heart, this innocency that sometimes we don't cultivate, but somehow it causes a countenance around what God is doing, that it opens doors and releases people's heart to be understanding with you. He says, Daniel found favor with the captains of the people, the eunuchs. And he found favor, and that favor opened the door, and he went again, and he found favor in his service in the thrones of Nebuchadnezzar. And later found favor with the, even when he was thrown in the lion's den, the king was so favorable to Daniel that he had to stay overnight crying for the God of Daniel to respond. Finally, Joseph in jail interpreted the dreams, and that opened the door of favor before Pharaoh. So here, he said, God, show mercy to Zion for the time to favor her, the appointed time. What does that mean? The Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 2, write the vision down. Even though it tarries, wait. For it will not tarry, it will speak. What does that mean? Any vision, any dream, any obedience, anything you do in honor to God, whether at your workplace, whether people see you or not, whether at your job, whether at your office, whether at your business, anything you do, especially in secret, there is a spirit. If it's innocent and excellent, you are building a cloud of favor around you. It's a matter of time that favor will set you out and push doors no human being open. And promote you, take you to places you'll never dream of. The Bible says as they came out of Egypt, God told Abraham that they will not come out empty. But when they came out in Exodus 12, the Lord said, "Now tell them to go because I will cause them to have favor with the Egyptians." And they gave them all their money. Favor. 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 Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, even Esther is the queen. But there are limitations to what a queen can do. But the Bible says, when Esther prayed, Esther of course found favor to be queen. But when Esther now came before the king, after they prayed, the Bible says, when the king set his eyes on Esther, Esther found favor. What did the favor do? The favor caused the king to alter things and begin to say, "What else can I do for you? What else can I do for you? What else can I?" Esther will ask. The king will say, "What? Just ask. Favor." Mordecai found favor. Favor. Favor in the sight of God will release favor in the sight of men. Now, the reason I share that favor with God and favor with men is this. You cannot have favor with man, true godly favor with man, not manipulative favor people do for what I'll get from you. But for you to have favor with man, uncommon favor with man, you have favor with God first. And to have favor with God, there are things that govern your spirit. Purity, innocency, excellent spirit, faithfulness. I mean, you yourself can tell. Go to any place where you walk. Go to any place. Find people who are faithful. They attract favor. Find people who are pure, who are innocent. No matter what happens, I will not. I just want the good of this, the promo. But find people who are trying to connive, like, or trying to backbite, or trying to manipulate. They are sowing destruction. Daniel said, "O king, the lions could not destroy me because I was innocent." You don't have to defend yourself. Just keep an innocent heart and submit to everything and watch God show you favor. But the good news for today is every vision has a time of manifestation. And the times of manifestation is the times of promotion. And God does not promote the way man does. God is a God who bypasses levels and take you to the highest. And take you, and take you, and take you. God does not reward one plus one. He does 100-fold, 7 times. Exceedingly, abundantly, above. That's his way of doing things. Now, let me tell you how God rewards. If you study the scripture, the reason why David cried out, "Arise, O God, show mercy, for the time, the due season has come. This is the time you have set to show favor, because your time has come." Favor. Men pay you wages at Walmart, at Sears, at working for the government. They pay you with money. No matter even whatever, they pay you with money. That's how you get your wages. But God does not just pay you with money. God's reward is with favor. Because favor will give you what money can never buy. And favor will give you all the money you need when you need it. Favor will lose the loins of kings, will lose hearts. Favor will promote you when you have no degree. Favor will give you inventions when you probably never went to school. Favor will give you doors that 20 PhDs will not take you through. Favor will bring you from jail to counsel and advise the king of a powerful nation. Favor will take you from the lowest place anybody can think about, and the next day you are eating at the table of a king. Favor will cause people to give you things and they don't know why. Favor will cause people to invite you to places. Favor is the countenance, invisible countenance of God that influences the hearts of people that don't even know who you are. Favor, when it's upon you, is the glory of God that men don't see. God grants you with it. People don't see it. But that favor does something everywhere you go. You make a request. Why would Esther stand when he's not supposed to stand? And the king looked at her and said, come on! What do you want? What did the king see? Spiritual atmospheres, you can't see it with your eyes. When the countenance and the favor of God rest upon you, you don't see it, but you can. It can influence, it can impart, it can open doors, it can lose things people will never do for any other person. They will do it for you. Favor. So David is saying, God, it is time for favor. Everybody say payday.
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 This is another part I like about favor. And I want to close this in prayer. Jesus grew up with the God's favor and the favor of man. When it was time for him to enter his ministry and his calling, the Bible said the Spirit rested upon him. And he said this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And he made several statements. Watch this. He made several statements about what the anointing does. Listen to this. He made several statements about he has anointed me to heal, to bind the broken heart, to set the captives free, to do all this. But listen to the last word he said in Luke. He says, to preach, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That word acceptable in Greek, in the Old Testament when it's quoted in Isaiah 61, is favor. In Hebrews, in Isaiah 61 is favor, acceptable year, favor. But in the Greek, when the New Testament was written, it is called approved. Accepted. What does that mean? Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. You don't see it, but things are happening. But then he says, because the favor of the Lord is upon me. And this is the year. The year of the acceptable, the year of the favor of the Lord. And then the next verse in Isaiah, listen to this, is also when the favor of the Lord is upon you, my brothers, listen to this. That's why you must be very careful when people are walking in favor. Mordecai, Haman, the moment the favor of God rested on Esther and Mordecai, every other attempt Haman made backfired to his own death. Everything he tried to do from that moment, he dug his own pit. When the favor of the Lord is upon you, the Bible says the next verse, then it says, the day of the vengeance of the Lord to comfort those that mourn. The favor, the reason we mourn, the reason we go through the years, look at what Saul did to David. Look at all the things they went through. The moment the season comes for God to favor you, the very season, God becomes your enemy's enemy. The enemy will attempt to do what he used to do to keep you, to bind you, to hold you back, to do everything like Pharaoh did. But that season of favor, the moment that window of favor opens, anything your enemy does from that point is fighting God. Okay. And you know what happens when you fight against God. Mm. So, The reason for this scripture is because of the season. Every one of you in this house, I want to declare to you prophetically that we have gone through transition in 2011, and then we enter the time of preparation to manifestation. And during this consecration of the first month, we were preparing. I didn't know all. We were just preparing. We're still in the Jewish first month, spiritual first month. Immediately after the 14 days of consecration, Easter Sunday, when we dedicated Mount Zion, the Lord says, now is the time to show mercy to Zion. And the set time of the favor of the Lord upon this house. And the favor of the Lord upon you. There are many people in this house that went through a lot during the 14 days of consecration. But I thank God for the testimonies of how they pressed through and overcame. A lot of people overcame a lot of things. But today I am here to announce to you, if you would receive it, like you don't have to beg for your paycheck, it's a payday. The favor of the Lord is your wages. For all your faithfulness, all your waiting, all the years, declare with your mouth that I receive favor from the Lord from this day. These beginnings of months, the favor of the Lord will open doors. He's already doing it. And the reason I'm telling you this is to encourage you, because I am seeing it in my personal life. Favor is not money. Favor is bigger than money. Favor is God going before you and making things, opening, doing things that you can't. You look at yourself and there is no way you feel qualified for it. God lifting you up before men, putting you in places and opening doors that you want to make sure he's the one doing it. The favor of the Lord will cause people to bless you, will do things. People will talk. I mean, read the book of Esther. You will understand what favor can do overnight. So I am here today to declare favor upon your life. God is rewarding you with favor from this very month. So receive it. Thank God that this is the set time for me to receive favor. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and the test, the mark of his being upon me is the favor. As you go to your work, expect favor. Favor. Pray for favor with your boss. Thank God for favor with your co-workers. Thank God for favor wherever you go. Thank God for favor in your family. In every area, the favor of the Lord will multiply so that you will be joyful. Yes. Amen? Amen? So I just wanted to share that with you, because that's the season we are in, the favor of the Lord. Amen? Amen. So get ready, because Mount Zion, the favor is opening doors, and the favor is going to do mighty things. And the favor of the Lord is going to change our services so that the Lord can move in our midst mightily. Amen? Amen. Favor will give you miracles. Favor will give you healings. Favor will do wonders because of the mercy of God. Amen? Amen. 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 Let's stand up together and receive the favor of the Lord today as you go. Hallelujah. Father, we give you glory and honor. We give you honor and adoration. For you are a God who honors times and seasons. Father, thank you that there is a time to sow and a time to reap that which has been sown. We worship you and we glorify your name today, because there is none like you. You said if men that are evil know how to give things, good gifts to their children, how much more? For you are truly a rewarder of those who are diligent in the purpose of your kingdom. I thank you this day for the open door of favor, the countenance of heaven that you are releasing upon every soul on Zion. For this is your set time, the window of opportunity for you to take us from where we are to where brings pleasure to you, because that's where you want us to be. So today, I declare favor upon every soul in this house. I proclaim favor in their rising and in their going forth. That the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon their lives will cause the Son of Righteousness to shine in their paths. That your Spirit will go before every soul to make crooked pathways, to open doors men cannot shut, to shut doors men cannot open. I thank you because of your favor upon this house, that every arrow of the enemy upon your children will begin to backfire. Every tongue that will rise against the anointing that is upon the destiny of your children shall backfire, because you've anointed them. And your word comes this day, touch not my anointed, and do my children, my prophets, my servants. For the Lord will fight your battles. He will go before you. As long as you stay clean, pure before him, as long as you continue to be diligent and faithful in the call of your destiny and purpose. Father, I thank you that where many has waited, I thank you the hour of your favor has come to open doors, to break through. Father, promote your people. Uncommon promotion, uncommon blessing. I thank you, Father. I thank you that they will begin to inherit their inheritance and possess their possessions. Father, that it will be done in such a way that truly those around them will say, this is the work of the Lord. This is the favor upon your life. This is the hand of the Lord. Let it be so that they will be called the trees of righteousness, the plantings of the Lord, the bridge builders, the ones who will raise up the desolations of generations. Begin a new work, O God, that your favor will cause us, like Joseph, to name our blessings Ephraim and Manasseh. You are worthy. You are faithful. We give you glory. We give you honor.